You just have that way.
Down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get a bite all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones, and mighty fine for skipping stones. You feel fresh as a lemonade, setting in the shade. Weather is hot.
Decided to do this.
It's cool.
That was my request.
Well,
Andy Griffin died yesterday.
Did he really?
That was the thing, yeah. He finally passed away. No time for sergeants. Finally got his time.
I must have missed that on the news.
That's because you're not on Facebook.
Yeah, I got to tell you, that was kind of sad.
Yeah. G-show.
He actually, they filmed that not far from where he grew up. The whole Andy and Mayberry and Andy Griffin show. Yeah. And I mean, this was his home turf.
Yep. And it's, yeah, not a lot of people realize that there's actually lyrics to that song.
Yeah, there really is. So, as you just heard. But
all
that
you
was,
ever hear on the show is the whistle part.
Yeah, that's true. You know, but yes, anyway. Bye, Andy. Yeah. See you later.
It's a tribute.
Yeah. So it was just, what a cool guy. You know, it's weird, but I guess that's all part of getting older. You know,
who would have ever thought Opie would have moved on to such phenomenal things after that?
We're all born terminal.
Yeah, I mean,
we're not getting out of this alive.
No, not even a little bit. But I agree with you. I mean, you know, I was kind of surprised by the way Ron Howard, you know, ended up, but, you know, wow, what a career. So, same thing with Andy Griffin, you know, go from the movies and gets that lucky shot on that TV show that ran for, you know,
decades.
80 years. Yes. So, anyway, but we got to talk about fishing today. And, Cale, you came in, you said, Frank, I want to do a show. What's up?
Oh, we were up river tarpon fishing this morning.
Okay.
Real good day. I got out there, was kind of worried as to what was going to go on. That big, bright super moon this morning. And it actually cleared up through the night, so we actually had a full moon.
Okay, yeah. Now, I was sitting
there.
Not
quite a full moon, but...
Almost. I think tonight's actually technically the
Sunday.
Full Sunday. Okay. Sunday,
tarpon Sunday, we are going to go out and we are going to catch tarpon Sunday. Now, won't they, that's actually probably an incorrect statement, because aren't they going to head out into the Gulf 3 to 7, 10, 15 miles out?
Oh, these ones aren't.
No, most of those are juveniles or very sub-adults.
Yeah.
So they'll stick around.
But the big tarpon are going to head out into the Gulf and do the
majority
whole...
Majority of them will.
Yeah. That's going to be probably their final breed.
Yeah,
okay.
Most of them have already spawned. These are the stragglers that showed up a little late for the whole May and June thing. You know, and then some of them will also double spawn.
Double spawn?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been able to do that for... Never mind. Anyway.
Yeah, we're supposed to be keeping it clean.
Yes, I know. Well, I stopped. I halted. Whoa, Nelly! Back off! No more of that stuff on this show. You can't. You've got to be politically
correct.
Open that
door,
correct.
I'm going to run out it.
Yeah, well,
there's not even a peephole there for him. That's just wrong.
Man, yeah. I'm not looking forward to this. I don't. Anyway, let's see now.
But the tarpon will spawn out there on the beaches or off the beaches about, you know, like you said, anywhere from 7 to 15 miles, and then the big ones will start to usually come back the next morning, and they'll do that over the course of the next 3 or 4 days. And then all these juveniles will still, they get excited though, because I mean, they're starting at that preteen thing, so
yeah,
they go into the major feeds, they get into real tight balls together rather than being broken apart up in the canals in little groups. They kind of...
Yep, that's exactly what you're seeing upriver now.
Kind of like
before,
a movie theater thing.
Last week it was singles rolling everywhere. And now that the full moon's happening, like this morning it was just wads of tarpon rolling. No different than the past, except they were just miniature.
Yeah, you know, whittle size.
Yeah. Oh, I about got an 80-pounder in my pocket.
Okay, you about got an 80-pound tarpon in your pocket? What happened?
Yeah, I was standing by the gunwale, facing the front of the boat, adjusting the knot on my lure so it would run right, and the guy that was fishing in the front of the boat hooked one right beside the gunwale, and I was standing there, and the next thing I knew, somebody threw a bucket of water on me, and then when I looked off the side of the boat to see who the heck it was, there was a tarpon jumping in midair right beside me. So
That's always cool.
Yeah.
I was doing a charter one night and standing on the nose of the boat and going along, and I had two clients in the back, and I'm telling them, guys, there's a lot of tarpon. We've been there about 2 hours, hadn't got a hit, hadn't got anything. I said, guys, I'm seeing tarpon all over here. We got to get, you know, come on, you got to get up on, you know, you're paying for this, you know, let's get on the ball here. And I'm sitting there, I got trolling motors on my right side at the nose. I'm standing at my toes. I'm very close to the gunwale because I'm watching for the fish. And next thing you know, when you bump a sleeping tarpon, they tend to jump straight up. And I'm standing there, and next thing you know, I'm coming up. And first I noticed the look on their face. I didn't even see the tarpon at first because I was kind of looking behind. I saw their eyes get real big and their faces kind of go white. And next thing you know, there's this tarpon about 8 inches in front of my face. And the only thing I could think of to do is just stick my hand out. And I just hit the tarpon and he fell out away from the boat. And it was cool. And I looked at him and I said, told ya. they both get up and they start going, you know, and we ended up doing pretty good that night. But that's really scary to all of a sudden look and see a tarpon, you know, 12 inches from your nose.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, it's fun. I enjoy it. But now
I had one that cost me last year.
Yeah,
I was fishing alone, which is never smart for tarpon. Fishing underneath the 41 bridge, and the lure got hit, and it felt like whatever it was cut it off. So I started reeling up, you know, as fast as I could. Couldn't feel anything. The lure was definitely gone. And about the time it got right at the transom, the line pulled slack, and about a 50-pounder come flying right up between the engine and the transom, hit me across the legs, knocked me flat on my face on the back deck, and luckily bounced off, you know, into the water, not into the boat. But, yeah, it's...
was he still hooked up?
Oh, yeah, I was still hooked up.
So you got to get up, grab the rod, start fighting him all over again?
I got one more jump out of him, and then he finally, you know, spit the lure, because those tarpon never run away from the bridge.
Right.
They hit and go back up underneath it, or they run six pilings down and then turn under.
Yeah, well, that's always fun. That's what makes it interesting. If it was easy, you know...
Everybody'd do it.
Yeah, it's a... It's kind of like sailing, where they say, you know, you've got all this time where nothing happens, and when it happens, it's like off crazy. It's, you know...
Chaos.
Yeah.
Now, when you're fishing, you're doing different upriver, though. You're not doing the normal stuff for them.
No. Normal stuff doesn't work for them.
Okay, the normal stuff isn't working.
We had a threadfin and a ladyfish and a crab out behind the boat, and they don't touch it. They don't care.
They're not interested.
Not interested, not the least bit. We started trolling the rattle traps.
Right.
Which worked well for about 2 weeks.
Gotcha.
And now those have kind of tapered off.
Back up just a little bit. What kind of rattle traps were you pulling?
We were throwing the 3/4 ounce gold with a black top. And okay. I really don't think it matters, because you can't see more than 2 inches in
the water's
river.
Really dark.
Real dark.
So.
So I think it's just more sound than anything else. I think any 3/4 will work, because they were hitting sound.
Anything in that 3/4 ounce rattle trap sound?
Yeah.
Now, you're pulling long, and they're going about 6-8 feet deep, trolling 2-3 miles an hour?
Eight feet deep is, you get anything under 8 foot, and it starts bouncing bottom.
Okay, so that 3/4 ounce rattle trap trolled between two and three miles an hour, you're going to get about 8 feet out of it.
Yeah.
And you were hitting them real good with that. Now, what's changed?
We were whacking them. The tarpon.
Okay.
Well, you know, water clarity too. If they fart sideways in the middle of the night, they completely change what they're doing.
Gotcha.
You know, that's tarpon. Now they want short and white.
Short and white.
And I'm full of short and white.
Yeah, I was going to say, short and white's got you all over
so
it.
I've got them pegged. Anything small and white. They wanted...
I'm sorry, Robert. It was just like looking at Cal going, yeah, short and white. This works.
Yeah, I'm all over that. White bait busters, the glow color.
Right.
I did manage to get one on the gold with a glow back.
Gotcha.
They wanted absolutely nothing to do with the pearl and black, pearl and green, any other color. Dark colors didn't want anything to do with it. It's kind of odd. I mean, we preach dark water, dark colors, light water, light colors, and it's completely backwards for
now,
these fish.
With the only three colors I see that go back and forth, dark or light water and variable results, is white, pink, and chartreuse. Those three colors you can throw in murky water, crystal clear water. They seem to break the color barrier. I don't know what it is about white, pink, and chartreuse being the bright green color.
Yeah.
And those three will go back and forth. But
we trolled different things today. We tried the White Storm, both trolling and casting. We got one hit out of that today, which was weird. He was trolling a black and gold wigglewort.
Right.
And that got absolutely smeared today for some reason. They wouldn't hit the rattle trap, but they'd hit that, which that's a little bit higher frequency than the rattle trap. And I think that's what we're seeing now, is whatever they're eating is creating a higher frequency.
Usually smaller baits create a
tinnier,
higher pitch sound. The bigger the bait, the lower the pitch.
Yeah, they're in there eating those glass minnows.
So you're going to have to find something that creates that higher resonance. And what it when we're saying high resonance, you got to understand that sound waves, the larger the sound waves, the more deeper the sound. When you do a bass note, it's boom, and it's a very large sound wave. When you do a smaller, the sound waves are smaller and closer together, it would transmit as a higher pitch sound.
Right. It's no different than sitting inside your house at night, and you hear that goofball drive by with the music thumping.
Right.
And you kind of wish, you know, that they'd realize that they put speakers on the inside of the car for a reason.
Yeah, well.
You hear that because those bass notes travel more, and it's a different wavelength where you don't hear.
It's a larger wavelength.
You don't hear the high pitch from their car from inside your house. All you hear is that low wavelength.
Right. It's a bigger sound wave, and it will, and it conducts better.
Right.
You know, and those speakers to the glass windows, to the metal frame, to your windows, your doors, and it hits them and transmits it each.
And it's no different with the fish and the lures. They want to hear a specific wavelength because that's what their food is generating.
Yeah. No, makes perfect sense. Now, how long is the bite up? Upriver right now. What time is the best time to be up there?
If you blink, you'll miss it.
So
literally,
get there at.
We had it was slow at sunrise.
Gotcha.
And then we had about a 10-minute period where they were just hammering the baits, and then it kind of slowed down. So it went from sunrise till about 8:30.
Okay. And
which is great, because you get out there, it's nice and cool, there's no wind, you catch fish, you go home before it's 10 Brazilian degrees out, and you go home happy.
Right. Perfect.
Yeah.
I mean,
and as far as I'm concerned, I'll take those little tarpon over big tarpon any day.
Well, with the right tackle, they're just a tremendous amount of fun. You don't want to use traditional tarpon rods. You're using the same rod you use for trout, snook, redfish.
Your snook and redfish rods, go out there, have a blast, they fight, they jump better. You know, I'll take them over a big tarpon any day.
Now, there is a time and place for a big tarpon, because sometimes you just want to get your butt kicked.
Yeah,
you
shark bait, but we're not allowed to do that anymore.
Yeah. So sometimes you just want to go out and find that big tarpon and just have a ball and pull and work for 45 minutes or an hour to get that fish. Other times it's nice to have that flash, that jump, that splash, and all that, and the whole thing's over 5 to 10 minutes, and you know.
I have no desire for it. What did I do with that 150-pound tarpon we caught the other day? Here, Austin.
Yeah, here you go.
You fight it for an hour and a half. I'm not.
Yeah, I remember being out with one of the better tarpon captains, and we get out there first thing in the morning, and I'm sitting in the back of the boat drinking coffee, and he casts out, and he hooks up tarpon and goes, here. I'm like, here what? You know, I'm sorry, you hooked it, I'm drinking coffee. Get with me in about 5-10 minutes when I'm done, you know, and I'll pick up the rod. If you're not done in an hour, let me know.
I have no desire to sit there in front of a boat for an hour and a half getting towed around by a tarpon.
I remember my first tarpons, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go out and just, you know, and we were racing, bringing in tarpon. We had a ball doing different stuff with tarpon.
But the strange thing is, if it's a big shark, I'll do it.
Yeah.
I don't see the point in doing it for a big silver cockroach.
I like tarpon. Silver
so
king.
I.
the beauty of the fish, the spectacular jumps, the white, the silver, the head shaking, and all that.
That's the nice thing. That's
the noise their clappers make when they're just shaking their head, their gills rattling. That is such an awesome, awesome sound.
Now, the one thing that
I was wondering why you were being so quiet, because you're like...
We're talking about little tarpon, and he's excited about it, so I'll let him enjoy his moment.
Yeah. I like him. I love him.
Little white guy, little white fish.
Little white guy, little white fish.
That's the cool thing about...
If they were round, it'd be perfect.
It would. But that's the cool thing about upriver.
Yeah.
They come to the boat gold. They're like big goldfish.
Yeah,
it is just so cool, the coloration difference up there.
Yeah, it's one thing is fish gets so different from the Gulf to the river. And I love this old dirty brown water up here because I can afford to live on it. If our river was clean and crystal clear water and blues and greens, I could not afford to live here.
No, nobody
definitely
could.
Definitely not.
You know, this would be a billionaire's paradise. This would not be, you know.
It'd be North Naples.
Yeah, it just wouldn't be this. But I like the old brown water, and I do like the gold colors on the fish. So if you're going to go out right now.
The trout, for that matter, up there are most spectacular. I mean, they remind me of like a German brown trout. Yeah, I mean, they get so gorgeous up there.
So what you're calling for right now is back to the DOA baits, going back to the bait busters. Are you trolling or casting?
We didn't have much luck trolling. The casting is working better now.
Now, are you jigging them or reeling straight?
Reeling straight and slow. I can't overemphasize slow.
Okay. And the thing that makes the bait buster work is it's got two little curl tails on it. And they don't, it's not like a paddle tail where it gives that big thump.
Right.
It's just a very light vibration in the water. And as you're bringing it back, you've got the main body creating the wake. And then you've got these two little tiny curl tails on the back that add some type of, just pulling a lure through the water straight creates a wave or a sound thing.
Sure.
But adding those two little curl tails just seems to be the right balance because I don't know of another lure that's shaped like that or works like that. Don't know why it catches so many fish.
Exactly.
It's the dumbest looking lure. I'm sorry, Mark. Mark Nichols is one of the greatest guys you've ever met. Nice. I mean, intelligent. He's produced some of the best baits, but I'm sorry. The DOA Bait Buster is one of the dumbest looking baits I've ever seen.
It's simple, stupid.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, and it's super, super simple. I mean, anybody can work it and it catches so many fish. Why? Don't know,
I don't know.
But
I think you're right. I think we're going back to KISS right here. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
Because it's got a little, you know, extra sound off those little curl tails, on the twin curl tails on the back. Mm-hmm. Plus, it's got that big blunt head. And maybe it's that double transmission of sounds.
Right.
It's the cool thing about the Bait Buster. And it pains me to say this because I hate them. I really do. I hate bait busters. I never catch anything but catfish on bait busters. But they...
The 12-year cobia curse guy, and you're on a bait buster curse?
They work well when everything else works, and they work well when nothing else works. That is the really cool thing about the DOA.
Yeah, I mean, for 6 months out of the year, nothing sells like a bait buster, because whether you're doing snook on the beaches or just trying for activity fish or tarpon, but tarpon's the main emphasis on this bait. And it's crazy, but you could take this lure out and catch bass with it, or northern pike, or it doesn't really matter what you fish for. If it's a larger fish, it's going to need a bait buster. And
the diversity of that lure is amazing.
I mean, I
caught gag grouper on it.
I don't think people give it enough credit. If I was going to go out and try and fish for a lunker largemouth in a lake where there's big bass but they're hard to get to eat, I'd throw a bait buster.
Yeah.
Same thing with if you're going to go for pike. It's got that unusual thing to it, and you can do it slower or faster, deeper or shallower. So, you know, I wish I was getting paid to say all this. You know, Mark, I need ads. I want you to buy an ad on my show.
No, what we need is white bait busters. We're out. Send us up, please.
Yeah, well, we got to get that and Terrorize, because Terrorize are the other thing. We're completely slap out about Terrorize.
We got out there, and I told the guy, listen, I think we need to throw the white bait busters. You know, well, I'm going to have to look and see if I got one. I know you told me to buy one, but I don't know if I got one. So well, I hope you have one, because I don't. I said, we've been out. We got out there, I made it work with what I had, and he was catching everything on that white one, and we were coming back to the dock, and I opened up my waterproof box to get my keys out, and you've got to be kidding me.
There's your bait buster.
I had one sitting in there. Didn't even know it.
Well, I guess that kind of sums up this whole last week. Has just been, I wish I had that. God, it's right there. You know, yeah. No matter what's happened, it's been 3 steps forward, 2 steps back all week.
Yep, it has for me too, so don't feel bad.
Oh, I got guys that come up to the counter and they set the bait bucket up there. The rope falls on. They go to grab the rope off the floor, pick it up. Something else falls down. It's like you got to do 4 steps to do what should be. Here, I'll just do this. Instead, you're like picking stuff up and setting stuff and knocking things over. And it's been a weird cosmic week.
Well, I think it's the combination of the supermoon and the polar vortex.
The polar vortex and the supermoon. Yes.
Now we're getting into it.
Now we've got El Nino coming up, and we've got
That too.
El Nino's out there.
I mean, that Arctic blast coming down from the north in the next 2 days.
Well, we've got that's from that super typhoon. That typhoon swirls up, and what it's doing is elongating the jet stream. And kind of like we were talking about waves, it's making the waves in the jet stream more pronounced, and so they're much deeper, much broader, and it's a big wave pattern coming across. We're going to see weather that we haven't seen.
Chicago's supposed to have a high of like 70 degrees in a couple days, or tomorrow, or something like that.
And it's crazy. I mean, yeah, once you get into weather and fish and patterns, and one of the reasons we kind of go and talk about all these things is the more you know about a fish, the more you understand where it lives, how it spawns, how it eats, what the water it looks for, what the sounds it looks for, the more likely you are to catch a fish.
Imagine that.
If you understand that fish, you're much more likely to be able to successfully fish for it. And when you go fishing, we target fish. When Captain Kale takes out a charter, he's deciding before he goes what he wants to target and say, okay, he might say, well, we're going to go out and see what happens. But you get a game plan in your head before you go. If you want to catch redfish, you go to places where the redfish are likely to be. You throw lures that you know redfish like. You use baits. You use techniques that are good for redfish. Now, you'll still catch a bycatch of almost anything. It's like tarpon fishing. Sure. When you go tarpon fishing, you're taking the lures that have been working. You're going to places where the tarpon are. You're using techniques that are good for tarpon.
And you catch a bunch of catfish.
And you can catch a lot of different other fish. But the more you go out, the more you learn about a species, the more you target that species, it seems like the more of that you catch and the bigger your bycatch.
Yeah.
It really does.
Absolutely. It's one of the things that I preach on my educational trips is to be prepared for a big, boring biology lesson. Because
I can understand that. I've heard you speak. Oh, it could be big, boring talk, yes.
You need to learn those things because you use that to your advantage and the fish's disadvantage. And it never surprises me. I mean, these guys come down from up north and been deer hunting all their lives. And they've learned to pattern the deer. But they won't apply it to fishing. And it's no different.
No, it's not. I mean, then it pays a lot to just be observant. I mean, and a fishing log helps exponentially.
Yeah.
My daughter's making us a Fish and Frank app, by the way.
Is she?
For your phone, it'll tell it, so you can put in where you've caught what and what you caught it on and all that. And GPS location and all that. So she is making a Fishing Frank app. She was telling me about it.
Nice. And that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty cool, and there'll be a free version and then a paid version, which has a bunch of other stuff on it. But there is a Fishing Frank app coming for your phone.
Nice.
So
very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
My daughter's, she's pretty high-tech. She's a lot smarter than her old man is.
She's just like her old man, though. She's got to have 30 irons in the fire at the same time.
I think our that app will take us over the edge of the dam. I think we can officially be called a boutique now.
Not quite.
No.
But if Penn's talking about doing some stuff here, Shimano's talking about doing it, which we'll see what they do. But, you know, there could be a partial boutique on the way. Yeah. And because if they do all that, I'm going to have to redo the floor. I can't leave that old beat up concrete floor out there. I got to, you know, they do all this other stuff. I'm going to have to do the rest of it. Yeah, we might be edging into that. I don't know how or why this is morphing out. Maybe I'm getting old and, you know, I don't know. Or maybe I'm just looking for the finer things in life.
I don't know about redoing the floor.
Well, just in where the reels are. I can't redo the other side. There's 80,000 people walk across a year. Yeah, yeah. There's no way I can do that floor. So
the old Long John Silver's building up there is for sale.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Besides, it's too small. It's not big enough to do anything with.
No, it didn't look big at all.
So, anyway, anything else we got to go over today? We've talked about tarping. And right now, to sum it up, tarping up at the bridge. Get there early. You've got a couple hours, 2-3 hours where you're going to find that bite somewhere in that time. So get there. Don't just plan on leaving.
If you just want to hit there before you go to work or make a quick day of it, great thing to do. If you do plan on making a day of it, take some crabs and some shrimp with you and then hit the bunks underneath the bridge after you're done with tarpon. There's been some really nice snapper under there. There's been some really, really big black drum under there. We're talking up to 75, 80 pound black drum.
Wow. That's cool. So that's you can actually make a day out of it up there. Our best, I'm thinking that just to go up there, but you need to get there as close to daylight as possible, as close to sunup, and figuring hanging out till about 8, 9 o'clock, but actually fish during that time. If you're just going up there to relax, you're probably not going to do as well. This is active, engaged fishing. This is casting and retrieving. You're going to be using DOA bait busters and have some rattle traps with you, some 3/4 ounce rattle traps. We're going to call gold, red, orange, darks.
Yeah, I don't think
darks,
the color will make a difference in the world.
But just going by what you've done. So,
right.
But that's it's active, involved fishing. This is not throw a bait out and wait for a fish to hit. That happens after you've done the tarp, and then you can toss the baits out and just kind of relax and ease your arms up because you've just casted 80,000 times.
It's the one fish that I would rather catch on artificial. Just because of the violence of the hit.
Down your fishing pole.
Actually, yeah, you get the feel of strike. You get the feel, the whack of the whole thing. Bam, I got a tarpon. Oh, boy. I kind of agree with you. Anyway, in tribute to Andy Griffin, we're doing his little tribute to him.
His send-off.
His send-off, yes.
Whether it's hot, whether it's cool, oh, what a spot for whistling like a fool. What a fine day to take a stroll and wander by the fishing hole. I can't think of a better way to pass the time of day.
Up this morning before